Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we heartily welcome you to a message from the greatest book in the world, yes, in the universe, the Bible, God's precious and holy word. In our preceding broadcast, we began a consideration on the three greatest subjects in the New Testament. We introduced, first of all, that Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. He lived. He died upon the cross to save us. He was buried and he rose again. Glorified, he returned back to heaven after providing salvation for all mankind. Now, what do you think is the next greatest New Testament subject? One of equal importance to the first one. And we would read from John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, the words of the Lord Jesus saying, "Nevertheless, as he speaks to his disciples, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will convince the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." According to these words, upon the day of Pentecost, we know recorded in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the promise was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit of God, co-eternal and co-equal in the triune Godhead, a divine person, came to the earth to abide, and he is still here. He did not take a human form, as did Jesus, but he is just the same, omnipresent, and his power is unlimited upon the earth, always present in every place over the earth, the chief agent of the risen Lord down here below. But as in the case of our blessed Savior, and listen to this carefully, the coming of the Holy Spirit has an eternal effect on the destiny of every man, woman, boy, and girl. What we do in regard to the Holy Spirit and his work, what is our attitude and our action toward him, will decide our destiny for heaven or for hell. Now, will you consider three things that are important to mention in our scripture, which the Holy Spirit came to do in relation to the world? Please note that the world is mentioned twice. In John 16, verses 8 through 11, emphasizing his worldwide work, the Son of God to provide salvation for the whole world. We know from John 3, 16 and 17. Now the Holy Spirit was sent to do his work for the world. Now there are three special truths mentioned regarding the Holy Spirit's work toward and for the world. Consider them, each one of them, very carefully. First of all, said the Lord Jesus, he will convince the world of sin. He is a powerful convictor. He is on the earth to convict, to persuade every man and woman, every boy and girl, that they are sinners. I'm sure they know it. Most of them do, but they will refuse to tell us and confess it. Have you ever felt, my beloved, in your heart and in your conscience? Have you ever realized someone is seeking to tell you what a sinner you may be? That something is not just the voice of conscience, but it is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And note particularly that the greatest sin that he convicts you and me of is this: of sin, because they believe not on me, says the Lord Jesus. There is no question of doubt. There are many kinds of sin, terrible sins, different sins, great and small. And you probably know much about them. And so does God know them too. But there is one particular sin that troubles the Holy Spirit that many are guilty of. For God has provided cleansing from all sins. For the precious blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But there are so many people who will not believe it, who refuse to accept it, who still reject it. My friend, all your sins can be forgiven, but there is one outstanding one that God says will condemn you to hell if you never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that every listener to this message will be no longer guilty of this sin of unbelief. But why is it so important? Well, there's something else he convicts of too. He convinces us of righteousness. To convince them of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, says the Lord Jesus. My friend, where can you and I find a righteous, acceptable standing before God? You don't have one, and neither do I. For the Word of God tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. But the Holy Spirit is seeking to tell me and you that the righteousness I need can only be found in the Lord Jesus, who is in heaven. The one who died for me and now has gone back to heaven with his Father. Listen to the words we quote from 2 Corinthians 5:21 and prove why we need Christ as our righteousness. God has made Christ sin, not to do sin, but sacrificially sin for us on the cross. The one who knew no sin, that we might be made or might become the righteousness of God in him. And God says, by the death of Christ, my Son, the one who knew no sin, the one who died for your sins and mine, in order that you can become righteous, you need him. You need the righteousness of God that is found in him, not in you. You don't have any. Romans 3:10, we declare it again. There is none righteous, no, none one. And it takes us all in. But God says, my Son has provided by his atoning sacrifice a perfect, acceptable righteousness for me to receive. Do you not ever sing? Have you never done it? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes, my beloved, there's only one ground to stand on, and it's Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And like the Irish Christian said, all other rocks, they're nothing but shamrocks. Oh, my friend, the Holy Spirit is the world's powerful convictor, as well as the converter to bring you to Christ. But there's another work of conviction he has. And it's one of judgment, says the Lord Jesus, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, what does the Lord mean? Is it not that if you do not, and or if I do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must share the place where the devil is going? And I'm very much persuaded, and I read it in the book of God, that the final destination of the devil is hell with all of his angels. And the prince of this world is none other than the devil. And in the Bible, I know where he is going at his end, the lake of fire, to be tormented day and night forever and ever, according to Revelation 20 and verse 10. But let me remind you, my dearly beloved friend, in Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, it tells us the kind of people that will be in that eternal hell with him. And one of the first words he declares, all unbelieving ones will be there. All who have not believed on the Lord Jesus. And oh, my beloved, from these basic facts from the Word of God, even concerning the Holy Spirit who came down to the earth at Pentecost, and he's still here. How long has he been here? nigh on to 2,000 years. And the important message in our New Testament, God certainly is bringing to your heart and mind, asking, what have you done not only with my Son, whom I gave to die on the cross for your sins, but what have you done with the Holy Spirit? Have you listened to His voice? More important, my friend, have you yielded to His convicting work? Insisting, you must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I heard His voice. May I confess personally, for some time, many weeks and months, before I came to Christ as a young man and received Him as my Savior, I heard the Holy Spirit saying to my conscience and to my soul, every time I heard the gospel, John, if you're not saved, you're going to hell. I thank God for the Holy Spirit doing such a work, convicting me. For praise God, there came a moment I could no longer resist the pleading of the Holy Spirit and His warning. But I knelt down and confessing the Lord Jesus as my Savior before Him, my sinful state, and the fact that He alone could save me and forgive my sins. My beloved, let me say this. For over 75 years I've been rejoicing. John, you're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. And I thank God the effect of the Holy Spirit has been eternal. Oh, my beloved, surely this is the greatest subject in the New Testament next to the subject of the coming in the world of the Son of God. But we close with the question, what have you done with the Holy Spirit? We would be reminded that the words of God in Genesis 6 said of many in the past ages, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. But, oh, my friend, just before the flood came, the Holy Spirit was upon the earth striving, and many, unfortunately, rejected Him and perished. Don't do that. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that by the Holy Spirit, conviction and conversion will follow in many hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.